This podcast of this Swain event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
How can you not give a for what to South Carolina? I mean, South Carolina beat us. South Carolina went to a bowl game. Yes, South Carolina had 28 days to prepare. They played on the 1st of December. That was the last game against Akron. And then they go out Saturday, and they get shut out. I'm not sitting here saying Virginia's a bad team or whatever, but you have 4 weeks to prepare, and you can't put up a point? Definitely get it for what?
Definitely get it for what? And Debo Samuel, their do-it-all receiver, was not playing, but Rico Dowdle had 21 rushes on 6 carries, and Jake Bentley was 17 of 40 for 218 yards and 2 interceptions. I like Bronco Mendenhall at Virginia. What he's doing at Virginia is pretty respectable because it is Virginia football, but you shouldn't be losing by 28 to Virginia.
Yeah. Payrick here on the text box is a really good message. Swain, you understand that Pruitt replaced two KOC doctors with two KOC doctors, right? I've had 6 different orthopedic surgeries from 4 physicians from there, and the physicians at KOC use the same techniques as the doctors within their specialties. Rapp and Ivy use the same techniques as the former doctors, and Dr. Matthew was one of the former doctors there. And the former team docs and the current team docs are not only KOC docs that work on the football team. Payrick, I fully understand why these guys were replaced. And they were replaced because you had a couple of players who have had surgeries. The doctors made decisions to use a certain technique, and the players were out longer than they should have been. And where Pruitt has come from, doctors making the same decisions get players back faster. That's why the change was made. And the doctors who are in place now have been, I won't say recommended, but they've had a stamp of approval by other doctors that Jeremy Pruitt respects and listens to. So, yeah, it's still KOC, but there's different doctors running the show. So I'm fully aware of what happened there. And that's part of the reason why Tennessee has had trouble over the last couple of years. It's part of the reason. Is it the reason? Can you pinpoint the team doctors is the reason why Tennessee can't get to a bowl game and win? No, it's not the reason. It's one of the reasons. You can't make the club in the tub. How are you going to win when half your guys are out missing time? It's one of the things that need to be fixed, along with the strength coach, along with continuity with your staff, along with recruiting better players in state and out of state. Going to the text box more here in hour 3, Chip Paynes says, Swain, USC Junior was upset that Georgia didn't make the playoffs, and their heart wasn't in it. I guess so.
I mean, I do buy into the not motivated for a bowl game theory. I firmly believe
I buy into it too.
Auburn beats UCF if Kerryon Johnson is healthy and playing, if they are motivated. I firmly believe that Auburn beats UCF last year. And I think Georgia is a prime candidate to not be motivated in the Sugar Bowl against Texas tomorrow. And it will not surprise me if Texas beats Georgia.
I think Georgia will be motivated.
You think they will to kind of prove people wrong?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going with the I don't think they will. Cause
I think they're going to try to beat the brace off Texas.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Because you can't tweet, you can't talk about how you got jobbed and how you were done wrong by not making the playoffs and go out and lose to Texas.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's going to put that funk on Texas. That's just my personal opinion. Matt says, is Mike Yurcik what we need to get to the next level? How does his philosophy mess with Jeremy Pruitt's? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Pruitt feels like his philosophy met perfectly with him because they offered him a job weeks ago. They offered him a job. They offered him more money than they paid Tyson Helton, and he didn't move. According to some reports, he's going to move, but it's going to be to Columbus, to Ohio State, unless something happens the last second.
I mean, he checks off Pruitt's boxes. He's a proven play caller at a big-time school. He can develop quarterbacks, a balanced offense, run the ball, throw the ball.
I mean, you look at James Washington, you look at
Mason Rudolph,
McCleskey. McCleskey's just a worker. We knew he was going to be successful wherever he went because he works too hard. But it's not like Oklahoma State recruits in the top five or top 10 every year. I mean, they develop players out there offensively.
I mean, even this year, Mason Rudolph leaves, gets drafted. Mason Rudolph was one of the arguably the greatest quarterbacks statistically in Oklahoma State history. And they have Taylor Cornelius, who was a former walk-on. He entered the season with only 24 career pass attempts, but goes into today's bowl game ranked in top 10 nationally in passing yards, passing touchdowns, total offense, and points responsible for.
Let me stop you. Not you, Ben, but the person who's listening who is saying, but he did that in the Big 12. This ain't the Big 12, this is the SEC. I'm going to stop you because I already know what you're thinking. Let me stop you. Jordan Pruitt and Kevin Scherr are responsible for fielding a SEC defense. Mm-hmm. The Big 12, they got what you want and need. You need offense. You need points. You bring the defense. Together, you can have a good team. If you watch the Alabama game, it seemed like the Alabama ran 87 RPOs. How many slant routes did those receivers catch? Those receivers, how many catches did they have off the action of Tua Tagovailoa putting the ball in the belly of the running back? Those are RPOs all day long.
Tua mentioned it in his post-game
interview. All day long. All day long. There's a lot of Big 12 concepts that are used at Alabama. A lot of them. But you know what they bring? They bring that front. They bring the speed. And the SEC nastiness along with the explosiveness on offense. So is Mike, you're six, the guy? Does the philosophy match up? Would he be successful? I'm going to say yes if he gets the players that he needs.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
In a heartbeat. Out of all the possible realistic candidates, he is my number one on my board right now.
I think Tennessee did not want it to get out that they offered him because think about the narrative last year. Think about all the no's that Tennessee got from head coaches. I mean, not just last year, but even over the last couple coaching searches. Butch Jones is like 10th. He's like 10th. You got a bunch of no's when you hired Derek Dooley. You got some no's before you hire Pruitt. Now, Fulmer got his guy pretty quickly, but Fulmer still called some guys and they were not interested. I think Fulmer called Mark Richt, if I'm not mistaken. Or no, that was when Mark Richt was at Georgia. Tennessee called Mark Richt when he was at Georgia. So Tennessee got a lot of no's.
I think when they were hiring Butch, They called Mark Richt.
And I don't think that Tennessee wanted it out that they offered Mike Yursey because it would have been another no publicly. And that's not what you want. But Oklahoma State put that out, and that's my bad. I thought people knew that Tennessee had offered him. That's totally my fault. I thought when Chris Lowe came on here and said that Mike Yursey was telling people around him that he's not going anywhere, I thought it was just kind of understood that Tennessee, offered him. But that's totally my fault. I got to do a better job there. Where does Tennessee go now if they're not able to seal the deal with Mike Yurkic? Where you go? Where do you go?
I think they go to Steve Sarkisian.
I think it's worth the conversation.
Now, I think a good development for Tennessee fans is that it looks like the Browns have decided not to hire Greg Williams, which would mean that Freddie Kitchens needs a job. And granted, I still believe that he's not coming back to college football, but he's not being retained.
Their last thing I saw was that the Browns are going to interview Greg Williams and give him an opportunity, but they're also going to try to talk to Matt Campbell. They're also going to try to talk to some other people too. They haven't just given him the job yet.
Correct. But to me, I think that's a courteous interview. I think if they wanted Greg Williams to be the coach, I think they would have already announced it.
I mean, honestly, I think it's smart not just to give it to him. I think it's smart to at least go and talk to other folks.
Yeah, I do think it's smart to go and talk to other folks. But if I'm the Browns, I would try to keep Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens together. I mean, what they were able to do this last month and a half was incredible.
I think the Browns are in a good spot. It's crazy that sounds. Mm-hmm. It's like having an ace already in your back pocket, and then you just see if it's something out there better. Like, okay, coming out of high school, at one point, I was going to go to Michigan. Mm-hmm. I had it in my mind. But then I started to take my official visits and started to take my official visits just to see if there was something better. And I found something better in Tennessee. I probably would have been successful at Michigan too, but that's the position I see the Browns are in. They got Greg Williams. They have some juice. They have an OC that Baker Mayfield responds to and he's playing well under. But why not talk? Why not talk to Matt Campbell? Why not talk to Josh McDaniels? Why not talk to him? Just to see.
Pat Fitzgerald at Northwest.
Yeah, just to see.
Who is believed to be one of the front runners for the Packers job. And so,
correct.
John Dorsey, the Browns' general manager, did just tell reporters that Greg Williams will interview for the full-time job tomorrow and that offense coordinator Freddie Kitchens is also a candidate. The Browns also requested permission to interview Patriots defensive coordinator Brian Flores for head coach. So, again, I don't think Freddie Kitchens is coming to the NFL, but I think it is
coming to college.
But I do think it is good news that from a Tennessee standpoint that maybe Greg Williams isn't retained by the Browns. It increases the likelihood of maybe a return to college for Freddie Kitchens than it would be had Greg Williams been retained. Because I would love Freddie Kitchens. I mean, I watched, obviously, the entire Ravens-Browns yesterday, and just to hear Tony Romo talk about how creative Freddie Kitchens is and his scheme, it got me really excited about Freddie Kitchens. So I would love to see him in Knoxville, although it's not going to happen more than likely.
My Tennessee pride is going to show here. I say this.
He's a bammer.
Freddie Kitchens is a bammer. And that would be another bammer.
But you know what? Here's how you can counter that. He was 0-3 or 0-4. I have to go back and look. He did not beat Tennessee during his time as Alabama's quarterback.
I don't care, man.
He couldn't beat the GOAT.
I don't care, dude. He's a bammer.
I don't care. At this point, I don't care if every single staff member is from Alabama. Just win me football games. I don't care. And then when Tennessee gets back to doing what it does, then let's worry about that.
I'm with you, man. It took me a little bit to get over it with Pruitt. But once I did, I'm good. And Pruitt is what Tennessee needs. But you continuing to add Bama, folks. It's like, ugh.
It's not fun. That is for sure. Yeah. Especially when Alabama has several Alabama guys on their staff. Georgia has Georgia guys on their staff. Texas has Texas guys. Michigan has Michigan guys. You always want to see your own represent you. And unfortunately for Tennessee, they're just not in a position to where they can do that right now.
I do got to give a for what to Miami, though. Not because they hired Manny Diaz, but they paid $4 million for him. Well, he was just your coach a couple days ago.
Hey, that is.
You paid a $4 million buyout for him?
Yeah, that's the one bright spot for Temple. With Jeff Collins going to Georgia Tech,
they got paid.
With Manny Diaz going to Miami, they got $6.5 million.
They got paid. Hour 3 continues after this.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again? Let us help.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The Shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The Berry Punch and Activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the Pure Recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter, oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip by Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you will feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious. TK.
Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
Gentlemen, when it comes to taking care of your health, sometimes the first step is the hardest. Low T Center is making it easier to take that first step. It all starts with knowing the numbers that are essential to a man. Testosterone levels, blood pressure, cholesterol, prostate, and thyroid. Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get all these levels checked and more. Low T Center specializes in men's health and has expanded their services, including sleep apnea, low thyroid, hypertension, severe allergies, high cholesterol, diabetes, and annual physicals, along with testosterone replacement therapy. The physicians at Low T Center not only want to help you feel good again, they want to help you prevent any serious health problems moving forward. Now, with the holistic approach to your overall health and wellness, Low T Center is making it more convenient for men to take care of their health, and most health insurance is accepted. They'll even verify for you. Take the first step for your health and call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com. Reinventing men's healthcare.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate? If so, then call me, Jennifer Morris, with Keller Williams Realty. I take a no-nonsense approach to the real estate transaction. No fluff, just facts. Having lived and worked in the Knoxville area for 19 years, I am very familiar with the local real estate landscape and am ready to help you get the most money for your property with the least amount of hassle in the shortest amount of time. No one likes for their home to sit on the market for months at a time. If a straightforward approach to your real estate needs is what you prefer, then give me a call. Jennifer Morris with Keller Williams Realty at 865-694-5904 or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Y'all ready to have an uncomfortable conversation?
Uh-oh.
About what will happen if you have a football team with the resources like a Tennessee? At some point, it's going to happen. At some point, it's going to happen. It's not happened yet, but we're seeing it across the country. And this is new for us because we are used to everyone playing when healthy. If you're healthy, you play, right? You got a chance to play with your brothers, play in a bowl game, go out with a bang, but no. Players are now willing to sit out because they don't want to risk getting hurt. I think the Jalen Smith injury when he was at Notre Dame, and I want to say, I'm not sure who they were playing in the bowl game that year, but Jalen Smith, Notre Dame linebacker, was a first-round pick, easily was a first-round pick, best linebacker in the country, and he tore his ACL in the bowl game. And the Cowboys picked him anyways. And he's just now playing at the level that he played at Notre Dame. And people are afraid of experiencing what Jalen Smith experienced. And so it started with a Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey. And this year,
Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl.
Who's that against?
Jalen Smith, Ohio State. Notre Dame, Ohio State, Fiesta
Bowl. They got drugged. This year, Michigan was without four players who were sitting out because of the NFL draft. Two of the players are potential first-round picks in Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush Jr. Rashawn Gary, defensive tackle. Rashawn Bush Jr., linebacker. As a coach, you can't keep it real. You can't say what you really want to say. Because I know if you're hurt and you can't practice, man, the coaches are dogging you. What? You're not going to practice because you're a little hurt? It's the difference between being hurt and being injured. If you can't practice, you can't play. That culture inside of a football locker room, you better be without a limb to not play in a football game. That's the culture. That's the message. That's the unsaid message. You don't have to say it. Like, your butt better be playing. Sitting out to preserve yourself for the next phase of your life? That don't make any sense. But coaches can't publicly say, they can't publicly dog these players. They're doing it. Why? Because on the other hand, you're in the living rooms of these high school players selling them on how you can help them get to the NFL. You can't say what you really want to say. Let's just say Alabama loses two games in a season, and Alabama is out of the national championship picture.
Saban would get fired.
Alabama is going to have plenty of players who will go to the NFL. I wonder what's going to happen if Alabama players decide to sit out a bowl game.
They may not be able to play a game because they don't have anybody available to play.
I bet you Nick Saban won't publicly dog out players.
Nope.
Because that's going to hurt recruiting.
Exactly.
You can't say anything. You can't. Oh, you want to, but you can't. You can't. And for the fans, it's going to come. We're not there yet. It's going to come. It was really weird to see Will Greer not play. I mean, he's a quarterback.
I don't blame him for not playing.
I don't blame him either. He got a family. He's married with kids.
Potential top five, top ten pick.
I totally get it. It was weird, though, because West Virginia wins if Will Greer is playing.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who they were playing.
Syracuse.
But they win.
It would have at least been a close football game.
Yeah, but they win. You can tell even David Seals Jr. was a little frustrated.
Well, he was crying on the sideline.
Quarterback was throwing ducks and balls behind him, and he missed. He wanted his quarterback. It's my quarterback, man.
It's my quarterback.
Where's my quarterback? I need my quarterback out here. Like, I understand for a wide receiver, wanting your quarterback out there, because the guy's throwing bad passes to you, not seeing you when you're open. It's going to happen here, Tennessee. It didn't happen this year, but it's going to happen. Tennessee is going to have a player that is going to decide not to play in a bowl game because he is preserving his NFL window.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Tennessee fan, this is what you're going to have to do. Got to keep your damn comments to yourself. That's what you're going to have to do, pretty much. Because if you don't, you're going to be a hypocrite, man. You can't sit here and pump your chest out, beat your chest as a Tennessee fan, talking about how we got these NFL players in the league and how we can help you get to the NFL. But then when a player has an opportunity to live his dream, to get to the NFL, and he decides to sit out a meaningless bowl game compared to the opportunity to change his life, his family's life forever. Now, it's not meaningless to everyone. But in terms of either being healthy enough to get to the NFL or playing this bowl game, I'm sorry, NFL is way more important than the Cheez-It Bowl.
How dare you disrespect the Cheez-It Bowl?
I don't like Cheez-Its anyway, so I don't care.
I don't either.
So if you're competing for a championship, if you're in a college football playoff, that's different. It's totally different.
The only time that's what I was going to say. The only time I would dog a player for sitting out of a bowl game, if they're going to make the jump to the NFL, is if it's a playoff game, national championship game, or for whatever reason, a conference championship game. That is the only time that I will dog a player. And I'm a college football purist. I love seeing Justin Herbert decide to stay one extra year of college football because he wants to play for his hometown team. He grew up literally 5 minutes within walking distance of Oregon Stadium. His brother just signed with Oregon. He's a tight end, I believe. I love that Justin Herbert is deciding to come back and play for his childhood school, the school that he dreamed of going to, and that he's going to play for his brother. That is college football to its core. When Justin Herbert would be a top five pick, top 10 pick this year if he left. I mean, he's by far QB number one in this year's draft class. But instead, he wanted to play one more year of college football. I love that. But I also would have understood had he decided to sit out of his bowl game that they're playing. I can't even remember who they're playing against here in a couple days. I would not have blamed him one bit. He's quarterback number one on the draft board. Why would you play and risk a leg injury like Alex Smith and may never play again?
We can stop right now. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're 18 listening, 38 listening, 58 listening, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. But we can just stop and just think about, there are about one or two choices that you will make in your life that will determine the direction of your life. One, two choices. The person you marry, the school that you attend, the friends you hang around, the job you take, the church you attend, any one or two situations you put yourself in that either get you in trouble or keeps you away from trouble, we can go back and look at our lives, and one to two decisions determines the direction of our entire life. If I don't pick Tennessee, I'm not living in Knoxville. I'm not doing this show. I don't have three beautiful daughters. I don't know. You sit out this bowl game. You have more time to prepare for the NFL combine. You run a good time. The extra week of, or extra 2 weeks of healing, extra 2 weeks of training, and you run a good time or you have a great showing and you get drafted high. Man, you just took care of your families. You took care of your family, your family's family. Your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, you have that opportunity from one choice. Or you say, I'm going to play, you get hurt, and you're never the same. What if Marcus Lattimore plays in a bowl game and he gets hit on his knee the way he got hit on his knee when he played against Tennessee? Marcus Lattimore was a top three back in the country when that happened. So I'm old school in a lot of ways. I have an old soul in a lot of ways. I never for one second thought about not playing in a bowl game when I was injured. Now, I did think about sitting out a game during the regular season when I had my high ankle sprain, but I just couldn't get past not playing against Alabama. So I played. But if I had to do it all over again, I probably would sit out a regular season game or two instead of the bowl game, because I spent my combine preparation rehabbing instead of training. And that cost me money. It cost me money, for sure. No doubt about it. It cost me an opportunity to play in the league.
It cost you an opportunity to get drafted.
Yeah. Now, I was still in a good position. You know, I was with the Bears. I signed a free agent deal. I got a little signing bonus, whatever. Like, they didn't draft a wide receiver. If I would have worked my tail off, I would have been good. There's no doubt about that. But if I would have been healthier, maybe I decide to keep playing. Maybe if I allow myself to heal instead of trying to play, maybe. But anyways, my point is one or two decisions determine your future and your whole life. And so I try to put myself in those young men's shoes, and I just hate that for Michigan. I mean, they had four guys out. And, yeah, Florida took care of business, but, man, you can't tell me those four guys wouldn't have impacted that game a little bit more. And we're going to deal with it ourselves. Bowl games are important for the school. Why? Because you get the money.
15 bowl practices.
Get the practices.
Get a chance to win another football game.
Add on to that number.
Win free Cheez-Its.
That's not great. Cheez-Its are disgusting to me. But you add another number to the record, but then you create this momentum. Bowls are for the schools.
I mean, look at Auburn. Gus Malzahn in momentum.
I mean, they wanted to fire the guy a couple weeks ago. Still do. Some people still do. But, I mean, you go out there and you smash.
I mean, Gus can walk around with his chest poked out this offseason now.
A little bit.
More than what it was.
I mean, Gus calling plays. I mean, he was on fire. He was on fire.
Now, on the flip side of the whole Michigan thing and their players sitting out and them getting dominated by Florida. Florida finishes with 10 wins, and it is being painted as Dan Mullen being a miracle worker. Are you buying into Dan Mullen getting Florida back to championship level? Because I'm not yet. I think Dan Mullen is definitely an upgrade over Jim McElwain, Will Muschamp. But their 10 wins, it's not that impressive when you dig a little deep.
You look at the momentum that they created. They can sell 10 wins. Dan Mullen took the same roster as Jim McElwain, and he won 10 games. You look at Miami and Florida State now. They're the only big-time program in Florida that's moving in the right direction, it seems. So they have –
How dare you disrespect UCF?
Anyways, they have momentum to create – to attract – top-level talent from the state of Florida. They have that right now. And you just can't take that away from Dan Mullen. He's corny as all get out.
All get out.
He's so corny.
So corny.
When you're sitting here and you want to judge quarterbacks, you want to say that guy stinks and blah, 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 blah. Dude, Felipe Franks is still just a true sophomore. He just completed his first year under Dan Mullen. Was thrown in the fire as a freshman. Next year will be his second year in the system. He's gonna be a better player.
I don't know. I don't
buy them as a championship contender now.
That's where I'm at.
But Dan Mullen did a good job in Florida. Because he did. Because the culture was toxic.
Terrible.
It was toxic.
It was terrible.
When he took over. It was.
It was. But you look at the schedule, they lose to Kentucky at home. They beat down a terrible Tennessee team. They beat a good Mississippi State team by 6 points. They had a really good win at home against LSU on a day that LSU just could not get its offense going. They beat Vanderbilt by 10 on the road, but Vanderbilt blew a fourth quarter lead. They get dominated by Georgia, dominated by Missouri, beat South Carolina by 4 points at home, and then they destroyed a terrible Florida State team on the road.
I'm not letting my Tennessee bias.
I'm not saying it's not impressive. I'm just saying a lot of people are trying to make him out to be the next Urban Meyer. I think that is ridiculous.
Culture was bad. Strength and conditioning program wasn't where it needed to be. Hell of drama. You lose to Kentucky. you bounce back, you improve, you improve, you improve. I mean, win 10 games. I mean, I can't take anything away from Dan Mullen. I'm not going to crown him, but he did a good job this year. No denying that. Hour 3 powered by Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Stay with us.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and lowtcenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials for the fall. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Smokehouse Stew, Barbecue Cheddar Meatloaf, or the Smoked Turkey and Dressing, which includes sliced smoked turkey and cornbread dressing paired with sautéed Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and a side of turkey gravy. While Dead End offers a different specialty meal each day, you can get their Hillbilly Chili every day. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The fall flavor search is over.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union has helped people save money for almost 80 years. Whether it's free checking, financing a vehicle, or purchasing that new home, Alcoa 10 is here to help you. Better rates, better service. Check them out at atfcu.com.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Member NCUA.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
Join the Swain event at Dead End Barbecue on Wednesday, February 6th, to celebrate the Vols' victories on the recruiting trail.
The celebration!
Enjoy a special barbecue breakfast and listen to Jason Swain and the guys break down each signee during the special edition of the Swain event live from Dead End Barbecue. They will be giving away T-shirts and other awesome items. Former players will be on hand as well as great guests. What better way to celebrate the 2019 signing class than enjoying some delicious barbecue and hanging out with the Swain event? Spend National Signing Day with the Swain event at Dead End Barbecue.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain event app.
Can't believe tomorrow is 2019. It was like yesterday when we were looking for a head coach and an AD at the same time. Got about 20 minutes left in today's show. As a sports fan, not necessarily as a Tennessee fan, but what was some of the most rememberable moments of 2018? Phone lines are open, 865-255-03. Use the text box. Swain Event is on Facebook there. Use Facebook Live there and comment. Just some of the best moments or moments that stood out to you, not necessarily positive, but just moments that stood out to you. Some of the best sports moments in 2018. Love to hear your opinion, your moments, any sport.
I know off the top of my head, one of my favorite, not necessarily a moment, but one of my favorite storylines of 2018 is Shaquem Griffin. And kind of everything he has had to overcome, and then him being drafted by the Seahawks after his time at UCF and getting to play with his brother. That was a very inspiring story.
Yeah, that draft.
Very motivating.
Yeah, that draft was good, man. That's a really good one. Yeah, I mean, one hand being at an underdog program like Central Florida, and then basically – outperforming every linebacker at the combine. Wow. And then for him to be reunited with his twin brother, that's pretty freaking amazing.
That's pretty cool. For me, what takes the cake is Tennessee basketball. I mean, that is by far my favorite sports moment of 2018, and the way Tennessee came on in SEC play to start the year in January, February. That Georgia game with Admiral hitting that turnaround fade to seal that game, and then going to Rupp Arena and beating Kentucky and winning a share of the SEC regular season title, making it to the SEC tournament game and nearly knocking off Kentucky for a third time and making the NCAA tournament. I know Tennessee did not have success in the tournament, but after what Tennessee basketball had been through the last couple of seasons, just to make it to the tournament was pretty cool. And then obviously this year, I mean, could you ask for anything more? 11-1 with a win over number one Gonzaga, and you enter SEC play as the number three team in the country and the clear-cut best team in the SEC. For me, Tennessee basketball is by far my favorite personal sports storyline of 2018. You're laughing at
TCC on text box. Ben wearing that way wristband was a great moment this year.
That was a beautiful moment.
So I looked up best sports moments in 2018. This is Sports Illustrated here. Can't finish the year off without a list, right? Gotta have a list.
List season.
Always gotta have a list. They have Tua's walk-off touchdown pass against Georgia in the national championship game. I mean, that was a pretty freaking cool sports moment.
It just sucked that Alabama was involved.
Yeah. How about Virginia going down? The first ever one seed to lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament. University of Maryland, Baltimore County. They were a 16th seed, and they shocked number one Virginia in the first round. And they didn't just beat them by a point. They beat the brakes off of them by 20, 74 to 54. That was really cool. Really cool moment there. I think I agree with you on Tennessee basketball beating Georgia, winning a share of the regular season SEC championship. How about was it Mississippi State hitting that walk-off jumper against UConn women's basketball tournament?
No. So
was it
2 years ago, it was Mississippi State.
Okay.
The little short point guard, I forget her name. And then this past year, it was Notre Dame in the national champion. No, in the Final Four game. I don't remember which game it was, but 2017, it was Mississippi State. This past year, it was Notre Dame.
I thought Mississippi State did it this year. This past year.
Because Notre Dame won the title this year.
But Notre Dame played Mississippi State. And then Notre Dame hit the last second shot against Mississippi State.
I'll consult our research department.
Do that. Yeah, that was a really, really, really cool moment there. Trying to think some other moments that really stood out to me. For Tennessee, I really don't have that many for Tennessee.
And the best part about Tennessee football was by far, for me, the Auburn game. Just winning on the road. Yeah, and for me personally, my fiance's family, my soon-to-be in-laws, diehard Auburn fans, her aunt and uncle, diehard Auburn fans, didn't have kids, so they spent a lot of money for season tickets and have really nice seats. So, you know, they were nudging me before the game in my ear, talking about how Auburn's going to win and all this, and for Tennessee to win. And the way that they did, I mean, they dominated Auburn parts of that football game. And so Juwan Jennings and his hug with Phil Fulmer after the game was really cool. So
after everything he's been through, you know, that was a cool moment. As a Tennessee fan, you know, that was one of the best moments in 2018.
The Jordan Poole game winner, the Michigan freshman who hit the three-pointer as time expired to beat Houston and send Michigan to the Sweet 16 in the tournament. That was pretty cool. Patrick Mahomes stuff was fun this season. I'm excited to see what he does in the playoff. I don't know if my favorite moment, but one of the funnier moments of 2018 was J.R. Smith's blunder in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
In the finals.
Oh, yeah, man. Not knowing where to go.
Mm-hmm. Sports Illustrated also lists Jacob Copeland and his mother walking out when he signed with Florida.
That was a moment that we will always remember, for sure. We'll always remember that one. Oh, no doubt about it.
And then how could you forget about Sister Jean in Loyola Chicago?
I'm trying to forget it. That's why.
It's all right.
Chip Payne says Fergie's national anthem moment and then turn it into a remix, the Golden State Warriors. Doug says Neil Mafia's West Virginia phone call.
That was great.
That was great.
That was phenomenal.
That was so great. I think that call, Neil Mafia's call during the West Virginia week, it was played 30,000 times. 30,000 times. Or maybe it was 20,000. One or two. Even Coach Fulmer heard it.
That's really cool.
Hilarious. Everyone heard that. TCC swinging on by Sister Jean was pretty good. Did she own me?
Yeah, she owned you.
She didn't even say anything.
You are the reason Tennessee didn't make it to the Sweet 16.
I'm not the reason.
You and Sarah Spain, your BFF. Notre Dame did beat Connecticut this year, this past tournament. Her name is very tricky to say, so I'm not even going to try to, but the Notre Dame player hit the shot to beat Connecticut this year in the Final Four. Then Notre Dame turned around and beat Mississippi State in the national championship game. And then the year before, I want to say the girl's name was Morgan Williams, the small little itty-bitty point guard from Mississippi State. She had a big-time game against Connecticut to knock them off the year before and hit the game-winning shot.
Okay. So UConn has not won championship the last 2 years?
Correct.
Ah, man.
Notre Dame won it this year.
And then
I believe Mississippi State won it the year before, didn't they? Or no, South Carolina. Somebody won it. I know it wasn't Connecticut. Let me research.
It's probably good we don't talk about women's basketball a lot because we would suck at it.
Well, what's sad is that I actually enjoy women's college basketball, and I watch this, and I can't remember. I watch too many sports. That's my problem.
Carolina won in 17, Notre Dame won in 18. So there you go. But that was a really good moment. Anytime UConn gets knocked off, it's a good moment, I guess. I'm sorry, but I do not agree with folks who say Alabama's ruining college football. It's not their fault. Ain't they fault? It's not their fault. I got one.
Oh, that's right. South Carolina beat Mississippi State the year before in the national championship game.
Yeah. It's not Alabama's fault. They're just doing what they're supposed to do, which is try to win every ball game. They have created, and it's funny that Matt Brown said this during the broadcast, that Alabama has 114 staff members, and the average football program has about 50. So Alabama has figured out a way to take advantage of every single corner, every single advantage that they can take advantage of. And other schools have to figure it out. Other schools have to figure out offensive schemes, defensive schemes, how to win in recruiting, how to do this and do that to try to chase Alabama. I can't blame Alabama for ruining college sports. It's time for everybody else to step up. It's time for Georgia and Tennessee and LSU and all these programs, Texas A&M, to have all these resources to go get it done. Because what Alabama's done is they have worked together. They're all on the same page. And they have forced other programs that have the equal amount of resources to say, okay, guys, we have to put our egos to the side and we got to work together too. Because that's all Alabama's doing. Alabama doesn't have all that much more money than some of these other top programs. I'm sorry, last time I checked, Pilot was sponsoring the SEC Network. Huh? Did I say that? Yeah. We got money. A&M got money. They got oil money.
LSU got money.
Everybody got money. But before dissension and people not being on the same page, it didn't show. You were not exposed. Texas, for the longest, they've had the same issues with their boosters, and they still won championship in 2005. But that dissension has caused Texas to be where they are. Because other schools with the same resources, and no one has the same resources as Texas, but other schools who have a ton of resources said, hey, let's start working together. And Nick Saban got everybody on the same page. And that's why they're winning the way they're winning. So LSU, figure it out. Texas, figure it out. A&M is figuring it out. They're on their way. Tennessee, figure it out. Georgia is figuring it out. They're right there.
You've got Kirby changing laws.
They're right there.
To changing the freedom of information.
They're right there. They're right there. So I'm sorry, I don't subscribe to the Bama's ruining college football.
No, be better. It's simple as that. There are two elite football teams, Alabama, Clemson. Then there's Ohio State, Georgia. And then it's everybody else. If you don't like what's happening in college football, it's simple. Get better.
Honestly, if you wanted to take one program that had all the talent, had all the resources, that should win, like Alabama's winning, that school is Texas. Texas really should be Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They should be. They got their own network. They're printing money. Austin is a beautiful town. And I love Knoxville. Austin is beautiful. In-state talent, they don't need one player from outside the state of Texas. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Look what they're doing for Oklahoma. Texas should be Alabama. But you know why Texas is not?
Because everybody wants the credit. Power grab. Or power struggle.
Here's some local top sports stores. 2018, the Alcoa and Central winning state championships. Central High School winning state championships.
Debatable.
Alcoa Tornadoes doing it again. Gary Rankins, he's one of the best of the best of the best in the country. Mm-hmm. And Bryson Rosser, young coach, turning around that Central football program, that community. It's been awesome to see. State champions. I wasn't making a dig at you, Ben, because I know your cousin was on the losing team there in Heron County, but truly want to mention Central.
No, it's really cool that Central got to the state championship game and won. It's funny because my college roommate was a Young Life leader at Central during his time in college, and so I heard plenty about Central football, and the years prior, they were not very good. Yeah. Won very few games. It was really cool to see Central get to that point.
A couple years ago, Fulton was smashing everybody, and Central was trash.
Exactly.
And now it's good to see Central, you know, competing and winning a championship. Vol Nation says Derek Barnett's second Super Bowl. Derek Barnett had a fumble recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a fumble recovery.
But watching the Eagles beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl was fun.
That was fun. That was fun.
And then there's also, how about the Rose Bowl between Oklahoma and Georgia? That was fun.
That was a fun game to watch. That was a good football game. Stephen A. Smith and Teddy Bruschi. Dads in uniforms and moose knuckles.
Interesting.
Who we got there on the phone?
Volstorm.
Volstorm, good morning, man.
Oh, my own. Sorry, I fell asleep.
Sorry, man. Sorry about that.
You must be hanging out with Andy.
You must be hungover. Or you must be getting ready for New Year's.
Hey, you can't be drunk all day if you don't start drinking in the morning. Dude.
That's correct.
That's right. Does Charlie have the two-tone blues today?
Charlie is not with us today. I don't really remember if Charlie told me he was going to be here or not, to be honest. It's been so crazy over the holidays. But I think, because, you know, everyone has different schedules, Brad and Ben and Charlie, and I think Charlie is traveling for New Year. So, yeah.
Well,
but he definitely has a case of the two-tone blues.
He knew it was coming. He never even picked the Titans to win. He knew it was happening. Him being mad is just him acting. He knew it was about to happen.
Also, do you know if Andrew Luck has been named mayor of Nashville yet, since he is 11-0 against the Colts?
He ought to be.
I mean, the Titans.
He needs to be named the owner of the franchise at this point.
11-0.
Him and Amy Suck Adams as co-owners.
The Titans better get themselves a really good quarterback, or they better get themselves a rushing defensive end, the same way the Texans brought in Clowney and Mario Williams when they had other quarterbacks in the AFC South wrecking it. So they better figure it out, Volstorm.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing. At what point did Ben's terrible towel turn into a crying towel?
Ooh.
See you, boys. Happy New Year.
Hey, at least my franchise quarterback showed up in the most important game of the
year. That's dirty, man. You ain't got to do that.
My franchise quarterback played and has two Super Bowl rings on his hand.
Oh, man. Marcus Mariota may not be able to play quarterback. Yeah, man. You making that joke. Yeah, ain't right, Ben. Lost on there, get you.
Oh, he did.
He did get you.
I'll get him next year, though.
Happy New Year's. We will not be on tomorrow, but we will be back on Wednesday to start 2019.